The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geeky programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Welcome to Nerdy Show, a weekly podcast dedicated to every facet of nerddom, from comics and video games to science and technology. If it's geeky, we've got it covered. Hi, I'm Cap.
Hey, I'm Brandon.
I'm Boar.
And I'm Nikki.
Well. We are going to do our usual spelunking through the world of pop culture. Brandon has a look on his face like something strange is going to happen. And if
that's
you're lucky,
my normal look.
We might even attempt face, yeah. to resurrect a segment from last week, which went over very well, called Surprise Science with John. We'll see how it goes. We'll see if he picks up again.
We'll see if he's awake.
If he ever picks up again, ever. Though it was, certainly it was a rewarding experience for all.
I learned a lot about jellyfish. It was great.
Yeah, it's a segment where we call up Nerdy Show host John West, who knows a lot about science, completely unprompted. He has to tell us something, and it worked out really well. So I've said all that, knowing full well that it might
And we didn't
not
tell
happen.
Him that it
We're
was
going to
happen again.
Yeah. So we didn't tell him it was going to happen the first time.
Yeah.
usually, we kick off the episode with talking about what everybody's doing. We're still going to do that, but there's a very simple answer to the question of how we're doing overall, and that's shitty. And I'm sure you're all well aware. It's a feeling being felt all over the world right now. Nerdy Show is meant to be a fun escape, and that's what we're going to give you. We're here to entertain, we're here to laugh at each other's dumb jokes, discuss pop culture, science, the general awesomeness that unites us as one big international nerd family. But it's been a rotten couple of weeks, and if we didn't address the nightmare that is the Trump administration, we'd be doing this show with a hell of an elephant in the room. So I'll say this, and this will be the last that you hear of it. This reality of fear, greed, and lies is unacceptable. And we're going to fight it every step of the way. We're nerds. We're outcasts who band together. We're lovers of logic and exploration. Our hopes, dreams, and our understanding of humanity were formed through the lens of visionaries like Gene Roddenberry who dared to see a better world, where all people are equal, all are united, and still have badass adventures. No matter our faiths or lack thereof, we believe in science and intelligence. We believe in fairness. We believe in being excellent to each other. Everything we hold dear is under attack. Free speech, the arts, science, the environment, people. Horrifyingly enough, reality itself is under attack. All that we treasure as a culture and everything that America stands for is in jeopardy right now. And I will give it to you plain. I'm afraid. I'm genuinely afraid. I've never felt this kind of fear as an adult. And I've been naked with a robber pointing a gun at me in my own home. True story. As concerned as we all should be about the chances of civil war or global war, a war has already begun. A war on the freedoms that we in Western society often take for granted. The shots are already fired. There's nothing alarmist about it. This is real. The stakes are high. And this is not America. This is not the 21st century. This is not the future that so many of us fought and died for or spent their lives in sleepless nights burning and building and innovating for. This is the death rattle of the small-minded. The bigots and the oppressors who would impede our progress like a log hoping to stop a tidal wave. The world is fucking scary right now. It's even hard to think about having fun in, but damn it, we are going to. We're going to make and celebrate art. We're going to laugh and we're going to fight. It doesn't matter who you voted for or if you voted at all. Tyranny is being opposed. Rights are being stripped away. And I'd like to think that if there's one thing nerds can't stand for, it's bullies. Call your Congress members, call your senators, write letters, and when in doubt, try your hand at some civil disobedience. Indivisibleguide.com offers a quick-to-read but comprehensive guide written by former congressional staffers that outlines proven tactics to make your voice heard. The 65.org, that's 65 with the numbers spelled out, is a resource for weekly calls to action to contact Congress, the Senate, and openly oppose the Trump regime. And if you're in the mood for a nerdy protest, there's a forthcoming March for Science being planned right now. No set date yet, but it's being staged in Washington, D.C. And much like the Women's March, there's many people banding together to coordinate simultaneous marches all over the world. You can find out more via the official Twitter at ScienceMarchDC. Most of all, if you freak the fuck out, we want you to know that we're here to help. We're going to keep podcasting until we can podcast no more, come apocalypse or Ewok celebration. And we're going to keep it light and fun. But if you need someone to reach out to, don't hesitate to contact us. I think it was a rogue heating engineer who once said, we're all in it together. So now, on with the show. And I think Brandon's brought something strange into the studio today.
Oh no. Yeah, well, I was also going to say, on the upside, Gene Roddenberry's perfect world couldn't happen without World War III. I'm just saying.
That's true. That is part of the canon.
Yeah. I didn't bring anything too crazy. I was bored, and I saw some neat like foods that I thought, since I'm a wonderful person, I would share with everyone. And
you
probably know what they are. I mean, if you do, you know, don't say anything. But
last time, so, you told me there was no animal, and it ended up being an animal.
This is not an animal, I think. I don't know if you can see it, Cap. You want to describe it? Okay. They look like little yellow like fruit petals.
Is this an episode of Kino? What?
I mean, so if you all want to grab a piece, they're like little plasticky, rubbery, yellow things. Here, Bori, you can pass them.
I can't reach. I need gadget arms.
You should smell it first. You should definitely smell it.
It doesn't smell bad.
Doesn't smell so that great.
At least
great.
There's that. Well, maybe my nose isn't
like
working.
Artificial fruit.
Doesn't it smell like cat saliva?
No.
Oh, what?
No.
Now that you say it.
Yeah, see, it does. You know what I'm talking about.
It does, actually.
Yeah. No, it smelled great before you said cat saliva, and then now I'm like, ugh.
Well, hey, cilantro smells like bugs, but, you know, I still love it.
Mm. What?
I mean, I'm eating.
So we're eating this.
All right, yeah.
Okay. All right, people are putting it in their mouth.
There's no meat in it.
It's got kind of a spongy texture.
I will tell you that this is a very, very popular meat substitute used right now all over Orlando.
No shit. This is jackfruit.
Yes, jackfruit.
Wow, I've never had plain jackfruit. I've only had
this is really good.
I only think get to 100 pounds and you can feed like the world with it. It's really easy to grow.
Huh. You can, I don't know if anybody's ever had a jackfruit barbecue. It's incredible. It's such an amazing pulled pork substitute.
It's pretty good. It kind of tastes like juicy fruit.
This can taste like meat?
Yeah, you can.
It does kind of taste like juicy fruit.
Yeah.
You can slice
it's
it.
It's going to move
it.
Me.
there's some fiber in it. It's
the same color as the juicy fruit packaging. Is this what juicy fruit's made out of? Is this their secret ingredient?
Yeah.
For yes, all these like hundreds of years.
Are you just making that up? Because I don't believe anything
that
comes out of your mouth anymore.
Nothing in juicy fruit is real. I mean,
I have very mixed emotions on this because it's like I taste the fruity bit of it, but then I can also see how it could be a meat substitute, but I don't know how I feel about tasting that at the same time.
I don't know.
I think this plain jackfruit is, it's like, what I like about it is that it's not too sweet. It's like a nice middle ground, mild fruit and vegetable
it's
simultaneously.
It's a bitch to get out of the actual like pod thing because it's like they're
comes
covered
in a pod?
It's a giant green pot. You know, like a pomegranate, you eat the tiny seeds.
Yeah.
These are the fucking tiny seeds of the fruit. It's huge.
These are tiny?
Yes.
You gave me like a fourth of a thing.
The thing is big, and then these are the pods, and it's really annoying to get out. They're covered in like sticky tendrils that you can't wash off. So you have to like cover your hands in vegetable oil. It's really annoying. Anyway.
Wow.
Well, so thank you for hooking us up.
I have another item that I found, and I was like,
oh God.
It's just one more. And I was just like, you know what? This might be interesting. So I brought it, and you can all have a little piece. You don't have to
it
eat it.
It already looks amazing to me.
It looks like a chocolate.
It looks like chocolate. It probably is chocolate.
I'm going to eat it and pretend it's chocolate.
Did you eat it? Okay. You can chew it now. It's in your mouth. Nikki, you can eat it.
Nikki,
I mean, it's already in your mouth.
Nikki looks horrified for the listeners at home.
No, it's okay. It's all right, guys.
Is it okay?
It's a little spicy.
All right.
But I put sriracha on like...
Anything else?
Oh yeah, I'm afraid now.
I was gonna say not to eat it because it was actually packaging peanuts, but that's okay.
Okay,
you ate it.
I'm feeling an unusual amount of heat coming off this chocolate. Is this ghost pepper chocolate?
Yeah, there's little flakes of ghost pepper in it. So
oh,
I was
good.
Like,
I put the whole thing in my mouth.
Yeah, I think you're used to spicy food.
Dude, this is great because normal spicy chocolate.
God.
It's not. It doesn't. This is okay. This is my favorite spicy chocolate now.
Well, it's all yours because I don't want to.
I just bit like a tiny little bit, and holy!
I am sweating right now. But
oh God, I don't have a drink. Why did I do this to myself?
Do you want Monster?
Oh, I should. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not supposed to have caffeine.
Just a little tiny bit was like too much. I'm glad I have jackfruit to wash this down with.
Yeah, but everyone needs another piece of jack. Oh, who wants? You want the rest of this giant piece? Nikki? There.
Keep it. Let's split it.
Yeah, eat it now because I want that container back.
I regret doing that to myself.
Yeah, I don't know why I did this. I haven't had it before, and I thought it would be okay.
And also gross. I don't know how you guys are eating more of it.
I love it.
I mean, I like spicy.
My two favorite things is like sriracha and chocolate and dark chocolate. This tastes like dark chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's
I'm going to guess.
I don't eat like milk chocolate very often. So this right here is like right up my alley.
75, 85 cacao. Mm. That's my estimate.
Yeah, well, that was my food segment.
Well,
thank you.
My lungs are burning. I inhaled it in my lung, not my stomach, lungs.
Oh,
I have to take off my jacket. I'm like sweating.
I'm very glad I didn't go, ooh, chocolate, and stick the whole thing in my mouth like Nikki did.
Ate it, and I was like, yeah, I mean, whatever. That didn't go as planned.
She's so trusting.
That worked.
I'm like, hey, if it looks like chocolate, well, I probably shouldn't. But
so in other news, did anyone pre-order a Nintendo Switch yet?
I did.
I did not.
I can't find it anywhere.
Well, the night that the presentation happened, I went on to BestBuy.com, and I got it from Best Buy in a location that's kind of annoyingly far from here, but I got it all the same. So I can pick it up at midnight when it comes out.
Yeah, nice. I've been to several websites, and no one has any more, which is weird coming from a system that everyone was like kind of on the fence
to
about.
To my knowledge, Amazon has never listed it. It's still, I mean, it's up there,
it's unavailable.
It's never been available.
Oh, really?
Yeah, not once.
That's weird.
Not once.
I have it set to alert me when it is, and so I have not yet seen it up there at all.
Did you? Did any of you guys see the new Marvel video game announcement and teaser trailer?
No.
So none of you know about it.
What?
All right. So Marvel came out saying, you know, something big's happening, and then they had a little teaser trailer for a video game starring the Avengers. And then Square Enix. Did anyone see Square Enix's announcement?
No.
They also came out with a teaser trailer announcement about making a game about the Avengers.
What?
Turns out it's the same thing. So Marvel and Square Enix are making an Avengers game together, coming out in 2018. And there's more. They're also working with Crystal Dynamics, who made the new Tomb Raider series. Oh, and they're also working with Eidos Montreal, who made the Deus Ex series.
What?
So they're making a universe of games, and I don't know. They said it'll be enjoyed for years to come, whatever that means. I don't know if it's going to coincide with the Marvel universe, because if it does, they can't use the X-Men. If they don't...
You mean the cinematic universe?
Yeah. If they don't, Marvel still holds the rights for X-Men in the video game universe,
yeah,
so they can have mutants and shit in it.
Yeah. Oh, no. It's probably going to be a...
So we don't know what kind of game it's going to be. It could be anything from a JRPG to a fighting game.
It's going to be like an RPG, I think.
Do you know if they're incorporating Spider-Man's at all?
There's a big chance he's going to be in it. Yeah.
Okay.
There's not too many details other than there is a trailer you guys can watch.
It just shows
a bunch of like Thor's hammer and like Iron Man, and they're all like just parts of them, and they're all busted up.
A bunch of Thor's hammers and multiple
Thor
hammers.
One Thor. It's just Thor's hammer.
A bunch of Thor's hammer.
Basically, it looks like the Earth is like wiped out or destroyed, and it shows all like pieces of the Avenger and like Captain America's shield, and everything's just busted up. And I think it's like the tag was hashtag reassemble. So I don't know if it's like something happened or Thanos murdered everyone, and then they're gonna come, because it's coming out after the first Thanos or the second Thanos movie.
I was about to say, I'm like, is it gonna be coming out after specific films where it might actually?
Well, it's coming out after I think the end of it in 2018.
No, 2018 will not have started yet. But
you might be
right.
Will.
Huh.
The first one, anyway.
Yeah, the first part of the Infinity Gauntlet.
So that's about all I know, except that those four developers are working on it.
Wow.
Based on everything you just said, here's what I think. I think it's going to be the launch of not a cinematic universe, but a video game adaptation of the Marvel universe, and it will be
it's an original story.
Right. So it's going to be an unrestricted Marvel universe, a Marvel universe where they can tell the same kind of cinematic storylines they have been, but using all of the characters at the disposal and using probably the double mumbo jumbo of having more real magic and not like it's science, but it's also magic.
I mean, as long as Squirrel Girl like character DLC is in it, I'm okay.
I'm sure you can guarantee that, because she's so popular right now.
I know.
She's not even in the Great Lakes Avengers anymore. She's too popular for them.
Isn't she in the actual Avengers?
Yeah. Yeah. So, or she's in the USA Avengers.
Well, that was my surprise video game announcement. I was hoping no one else
heard about it. Yeah, I totally did not catch wind of that. That's
amazing. It's really cool. You should all watch the little teaser trailer at some point.
We'll have links to everything we discuss, as per usual, on this episode's page. That's fucking great. That's so exciting. I can't believe they had so many different studios working on it.
To be fair, I don't know how a game that's in the style of Uncharted and a game that's in the style of crawling through air vents and hacking things is going to translate to an Avengers game, because that's what the company's
Well, that'd be weird if it was a first-person thing, but Maybe it will be. Who knows?
There was actually a scrapped first-person Avengers game tied into the first film. There was footage of it that was leaked, and it actually looked pretty good. Weirdly good.
Well, most Avengers games have just been not that great, though.
Yeah. I mean, it's a hard thing to...
The arcade games have been great.
Like, having that roster of super-powered characters, that's... Every single character has a unique playstyle, has a unique game mechanic. They would just have to in order to have the dynamism of what represents those characters. So it's an extremely challenging thing to do. You can't make the same kind of game. Like, you can make an X-Men beat 'em up because they have... You can fit that all relatively in the same scope, but it has to only be within the stylings of a primitive game. If you bring it up to modern gameplay standards, you can't do it. It has to be something like that.
I'm worried it's going to be an online game.
I'm worried about that too. I don't want that.
Because it shows like Bruce Banner's glasses destroyed and like Captain America's shield dented.
They haven't
like,
had a lot of luck. Like
exactly. Now, it doesn't mean it's going to be, but it seems like the Avengers are gone. Create your own character and assemble your own team and do this. But it says it's a great like. They said there's going to be a great story, so I don't know, like, online games.
I mean,
I really
liked City of Heroes, if you remember that.
I played it for, like, 10 hours, and it's like I'm doing the same thing over and over.
No, I don't, that wouldn't work for me, an online game with...
Not anymore.
I
mean, online games don't do it anymore for me, like that.
Yeah, because in that one, and even the, there was a DC Universe online game, right? That one, they had the normal, like, characters, but
you couldn't play as them.
Right, you had to be somebody different.
And I, that's the one that I'm thinking of that I played a lot of. And
yeah,
then I was like, I got
bored
of it.
For that reason alone, I don't think that they'll do it, because I think they'll probably want you to be one of those characters, mm-hmm. right?
I think they would. And this sounds, especially with Reassemble, this sounds very similar to, there's that fighting game, Injustice Gods Among Us, the DC fighting game. Now, as a fighting game, I don't really know what its reputation is, but there was a comic book tie-in that is still ongoing, even though that game is like 4 or 5 years old at this point. It must be 4 years old.
The story for the game was pretty cool.
Well, that story is so cool that it has sustained itself in its own parallel DC universe for this entire time.
Wait, but it's been done before, like Superman goes bad and like kills people, right?
Well, this was like a whole different universe, so like... Our universe, Superman crossed over to like help beat evil
and then
Superman
he became a bad
because
guy.
Only Superman can kill Superman.
Yeah, but didn't he be like he became like the bad guy though? Didn't he?
No.
Like the Superman went over there and became an asshole.
No,
though they just are trying to fight an asshole Superman.
Yeah.
Okay.
It sounds to me like Marvel's trying to latch onto that and have the freedom to tell a unique story in a different medium. So that's exciting. The possibilities are exciting, but I certainly do hope it's not an MMO because
I just like those.
I'm playing it.
I mean, I just like the studio. I like the studios working on it. It's just they usually make games that I don't see translating to an Avengers game. But we'll see. Maybe they'll just change the format up.
I got a little bit of a comic book thing since we're vaguely in that vein. A new series just started with a maxi series. So a 12-issue, like, limited run series. It's called the Commandy Challenge. Anybody ever heard of Commandy?
No.
Wait, no, I have. But I don't... I've heard you say this before, like a long time ago.
He's an obscure DC Comics character, Commandy, the last boy on Earth, the last human boy anyway. 1970s Jack Kirby comic. It was basically him taking the most far out ideas he could and telling his own story in a completely separate Jack Kirby universe. And 2017 is the anniversary of Jack Kirby's birthday, the 100th anniversary. So DC... because they're actually amazing right now out of nowhere, are putting together a thing called the Commandy Challenge, which is the series loosely based on not just Commandy, Jack Kirby series, but also something they did in 1985 called the DC Challenge, which was a limited series where each issue of the comic book was written and drawn by different people and ended in a seemingly impossible cliffhanger.
Oh, we talked about this a while
ago. Did
we? Yeah, once. Oh,
I couldn't remember if I brought it up.
I don't know if it was
not.
On Nerdy Show. We definitely talked about it.
It's possible.
And then, like, the next person would have to try to pick it up from this.
Yeah. Shit, I might be repeating news. Well, the thing is, I may have talked about this before, but it's out now. The first issue is out now, and it's great. It's really fucking good.
So it's like
good.
Weekend at Bernie's 3.
Yes, it's a lot. It's a lot.
Every person writes a different chapter, and then it ends in some weird way, and then someone else has to pick it up.
Yeah, it's a lot like our forthcoming Weekend at Bernie's 3 project, nerdyshow.com/weekendatBernie's or Bernie's or something like that.
That sounds really cool, though.
Yeah.
Can anyone do this, or is it just like very specific people in the industry?
It's It is high caliber profile.
So I can't draw like an issue.
Well, I mean, you could. I mean, it just wouldn't
be. And submit it.
No.
They would be like, oh, you're dumb. No. You're not in the industry. You don't have like a SAG card or something. So you can't be a part of this elitist group.
Well, here's the thing. They actually said that the reason that they want to do something with Commandy as an obscure character for a while, but they actually had so many writers and artists who wanted to do it. They're like, what the hell do we do? So they...
So everyone's going to do it.
They, yeah, exactly. And they have it all. It's all plotted out. So this the entirety of this year, 12 months, 12 issues, different teams, incredible talent. Jimmy Palmiotti, Amanda Connor, Bill Willingham of Fables, Keith Giffen, Tom King, Greg Pak, Kevin Eastman, creator of Ninja Turtles, is going to be drawing one of these issues, if you can fucking believe that. That's totally weird.
And they have different writers, too?
I mean, yeah, I'm naming writers and artists here. Yeah. It's all like, yeah, it's all a big mix. Gail Simone's doing something.
Neil Gaiman.
Yes. No. Neil Adams, but not Neil Gaiman. But hey, I have a map printed out here. That's the map of the world of Commandy.
I was wondering.
Here's something I didn't know about, is that each issue is going to be... taking place in a different part of Commandy's world from Jack Kirby's batshit map that he drew. We'll link to a picture of
the map. Kinda looks like the Earth, but kind of not. Something horrible has happened to South America. I don't think he likes them.
Earth AD.
There's a part, I think it's in the Philippines, something about surfing monkeys, I believe. There's all kinds of crazy stuff.
I don't
stuff
think
on
it's
there.
To scale, because one thing is like Island of the God Watchers, and the island is half the size of the United States. So I think it's not to scale.
and for some reason, there's a land bridge from Canada to Ireland.
Well, that's going to exist. Soon.
Home of a sure. million sleepers. That's probably where I'd be from. Yeah.
There's a giant land bridge that just goes all the way to the other continent.
Dookie slipping.
Dookie slipping.
Bor got me an incredible gift right before the episode. It's a plush.
His finger is butt.
Oh yeah.
Oh, this is. You can shove a piece of your wang in there. Only a piece.
This is a yiffable toy right here.
There it is.
We've talked about Squatty Potty a lot over the years here on Nerdy Show. Even before they had a pooping unicorn, we did a special episode.
They don't give
Squatty
us
Potty.
Any money. We just like mentioned.
Well, they did give us free product.
Oh
time.
Yeah, yeah.
But when they unveiled their pooping unicorn commercial, it was a stroke of genius, and now they have a plush pooping unicorn doll, and they've named him Dookie. So he's Dookie the pooping unicorn, and you can pull a little poop out of his butt, and it's a little rainbow cone.
And you can put it back in.
And you can put it back in, or you could put something else back in there.
And it comes with a little storybook about...
That's not why I bought it for you.
Yes, it comes with its own comic, and it's pretty...
All I see now is just the gaping hole on his bottom side with a string
hanging
out.
Well, yeah, when you pull the plush poop out of the plush's
butt. Do we need to leave you alone for a minute?
There's a little bit of a hole there.
You might need to leave me alone.
Yeah. I mean, you might have to adjust it for depth, but
not Brandon.
But hey, if you're making love with plush animals, you already know all those skills.
I don't need to
tell you how to do your job.
I like to pierce through the lining. Anyway.
Oh,
gives it that realistic.
It's part of the
feel.
Experience.
Yeah. Oh boy,
you like the fluff. You know?
Yeah, that way you really know you're it. The first.
Yep. No one else has been through here.
That's
and then you forget about it for a week, do it again, and it's filled with ants.
Yeah.
And then you turn the lights on, and you're like, "There's ants inside of my dick." Yep. Anyway, moving on.
Hey, speaking of human-animal hybrids, congratulations. We've talked about this in the past, but there's the first human-pig hybrid has been created.
Yeah, or at least that is what they're describing it as. They're like, the first human and pig hybrid, blah, 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 blah. And people are like, well, you know, now we just need to throw some bear DNA.
don't care. Who wants to see it? Yeah, let's see mini pigs with bear DNA.
Man bear pig. God. It'd be perfect, but
I'm super serial. Man Bear Pig is gonna happen.
It's gonna be awesome.
Super serial.
But the goal
of it is to have organs that are harvestable. Correct?
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
I thought they banned this.
So the thing is they're not taking pig DNA and human DNA and smushing it all together. They took like a human. Egg or something, and then put it inside of the pig.
I love human eggs.
Humans don't lay eggs. Hold on a goddamn minute.
Wait, when
not
you put
unless
it in,
there's some sort of lizard.
That's some lizard talk right there.
What happens to the human egg when you put it in a pig?
Well, it was able to survive up to 4 months old inside,
and then exploded subsequently.
But we're making progress.
Are we trying to hatch a human out of a pig? I'm so confused.
Well, surrogate
mothers are like a thing that they need to have. Yeah, and they're expensive. So if we could have a cheap pig surrogate.
Who's your mom? It's a pig. My mom was a pig.
The main point of it, though, is not to actually have babies growing inside of pigs and things like that, but we're always looking for organ donors and things like that. They're trying to now grow organs, other organs, inside of these pigs.
Yeah, pipe organs, like actual like livers and kidneys and stuff.
But
we might
be able to make a biological, if we're making chimeras, we might as well create a biological musical instruments.
Yeah. You could make if you tied 10 pigs together and you stepped on them in different orders, you would make a pipe organ.
But medical science is moving faster than we can keep up with in the scope of...
Well, it was.
The organ donation lists are crazy long. People die waiting for organs.
Yeah.
That's a fact. And it's a terrible thing. And the only way that we could ever conceivably meet that demand is
more car accidents. I think we had this discussion.
Yeah, we talked about that already.
We did talk about how driverless cars will mean that there's potentially less donors. But this is the future. Like, this has to be done. And what you said, Brandon, about didn't they ban that? They have, it cannot be funded by the U.S. government. Taxpayer dollars cannot fund this research, which is why this success has happened via private funding.
Yeah. And I mean, but that it's a huge step towards, I mean, the possibilities now are going to be fairly endless. But I mean, if the thing could only last up to 4 months, like, I want to know where the complication, they didn't actually specify what the complication was. Why only 4 months? Well, is that all they needed?
Don't pigs by default have like a shorter gestation cycle than humans?
I believe
so. Yeah, they must. But and also,
so there's probably some sort of incompatibility there because the mother would probably at some point just be like, "Well, we don't usually take this long."
What are they going to do if the embryo lasts a full 9 months? Like, well, there's actually a child in there. Get him out.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure like what they would have done if it like fully evolved into humans, but.
So it's human with a snout.
He would have had an interesting childhood and then subsequent adult life.
He probably wouldn't have liked bacon.
You should probably just never tell that child, hey, so a pig gave birth to you?
Mama was a pig and daddy ate her.
It sounds like the beginning of a horror movie, to be honest with you.
And then we cooked him and made you eat it for your first meal.
You just see a pig giving birth and then a human baby pops out. It'd be like, five.
I feel like there must be some information that we're missing here because certainly they wouldn't have done anything that could potentially result in a human birth in a pig.
Right. And again, they didn't seem like that was something that they were going for. So I'm trying to understand why they went with the fetus.
You could surprise John with this question.
That's a good idea. Here we go.
Okay, there you go.
Oh, God. Are we actually going to ask him about pig DNA? Or
well,
pig?
So. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Oh, the phone is busy. Busy bee John. We'll try again later.
Okay. He's like, I knew they'd be filming today, so.
He turns his phone off when he's sleeping.
There we go. Let's see if he picks up.
So excited. Oh, you didn't tell him that he has to pick up.
He could
time.
Be on the toilet.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system.
Should we leave him a message?
Let's leave him a message.
8-9-4
Oh, everyone knows his phone number now.
Not available.
We'll edit that part out.
Everyone call John. Hey, John. It's Brandon. John.
And Boar.
And Nikki.
And me. So, boy, this is a surprise science, huh?
It's working out pretty well.
You sure surprised us.
This is going to be the most educational version ever.
We could have been talking about pig fetuses and human fetuses living together in harmony. But you didn't pick up.
We'll try again.
Boo.
Goodbye, John.
Maybe we'll find out one day.
We should call him back and leave another voicemail, but like pretend it's something else. Just make a different voice, different character.
Oh, hey, how are you doing? What's up, John?
Yeah.
This is...
Hey, John, don't forget to bring a towel if you go out today.
Yeah, just anything. Make up shit and just prank call him all day.
There's been a lot of new shit coming out via Netflix. I don't know if Netflix has... I don't think they have seasons, but it's...
The amount of original shows is insane these days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can't believe the amount that they're adding.
Season 2 of Voltron is out. I've only just started.
I haven't touched it yet.
I'm so excited to. I heard that it is better than season 1 and is clearly setting up a lot of stuff a la Avatar The Last Airbender, which where many of the writers and so on are from. So that's exciting. And Bor, you've seen the Lemony Snicket series.
I did. I watched the whole first season. Spoiler alert, I guess they left it on like a cliffhanger, so it's definitely going to continue.
I was like, I don't know if that's a spoiler alert.
It's not
like the
really.
End of a season. There's a cliffhanger.
Now I know.
It was a cliffhanger at the end of a season.
See, I thought maybe it was just going to be like a self-contained, like they're just going to put the whole story into one season type of a thing, and it was just going to be like a one-off. But apparently, they're going to keep going with it. But Neil Patrick Harris plays Count Olaf, who terrorizes the poor Baudelaire children through all their different places that they get put after their parents die in a horrible fire. And yeah, it's just it's about their adventures. It's if you've seen the Lemony Snicket movie
with Jim Carrey.
Yeah, the one with Jim Carrey. It's a lot like that. I mean, story-wise, obviously, except for it's
comedy-wise.
Way more drawn out. So like they spend a lot more time. Each episode, I think there's like one or two episodes per person that they get stuck with. And I loved it a lot. I thought it was great. And
yeah, I've only seen the film, and which I liked, fair amount. And it was so weird how the film was so episodic because the books are so episodic.
Yeah.
And it was never a good fit for a film. Like in the way of it, like the film ended basically saying, oh, and there's going to be more. There wasn't.
Yeah. But Patrick Warburton does, he plays Lemony Snicket and is therefore like the narrator of the.
Who is or what is a Lemony Snicket?
he's
well, isn't that like a candy?
No.
Like you go to the store, oh, I'm going to buy two Lemony Snickets in a Danish.
It's the author of the story.
Oh, okay. I don't know, man. Do you think I know this shit? I don't.
Let me look on the Urban Dictionary
for the Lemony Snickets.
Hey, girl, you've had a Lemony Snicket, don't you?
In universe, he is investigating what happened to the Baudelaire children and chronicling their story.
Okay.
So he's sort of like the narrator along the way, and they constantly tell you in this show to, you probably don't want to watch it because it's going to be really horrible and nothing good is ever going to happen to the Baudelaire children. So you probably want to just turn it off now. They tell you so many times to just stop watching it. And they break the fourth wall a couple of times by like knowing that they're on Netflix.
Oh, really?
You know, I think that's the criticism someone told me they didn't really like. It's too self-aware or something.
Why is that bad?
I don't know. That's just they turn them off to it.
They just reference that, you know, like
it's a lot of slapstick humor.
They just reference that streaming media is a thing, pretty much. And I was really surprised and delighted that Rhys Darby is in the show towards the end of the season.
Wait, Rhys Darby is in Voltron and Lemony Snicket?
Yes.
Is he like, does Netflix own him now?
I think so.
I don't know, but they can put him in anything and I will like it just a little bit more because he's in it.
What does he play there? Just a character?
He is one of the lumber mill's owners. Like he's one of the partners in the lumber mill story.
Well, now I want to watch it.
I thought it was really great. You said Denica didn't like it, though.
Yeah,
I'm interested to hear why.
Like, she
but
didn't hate it, but yeah. Well, we could always surprise call her. No,
and I didn't think I was going to like it because a lot of people were comparing it to Wes Anderson, and I hate Wes Anderson. But after I watched it a little bit, I learned that it's a little bit more to me like Pushing Daisies.
I was going to say okay. When I saw the trailer, I was like, this looks similar to a Brian Fuller show,
yeah.
But it's not Brian Fuller.
Exactly. Yeah. It's sort of like Brian Fuller. It feels like a little bit like a cartoon world that's mm-hmm. real. And I liked that.
I heard that the main bad guy, the main reveal at the end is that he's Neil Patrick Harris.
What? That's Neil Patrick Harris?
Like Count Olaf or whatever. He takes off his makeup and he's actually Neil Patrick Harris. And
the
that's
whole
the twist. Like him playing himself.
Well, that didn't really happen.
He's an actor. No.
Do you know the connection between Pushing Daisies and Lemony Snicket?
No, I don't.
They're both produced by Barry Sonnenfeld, the director of Blind.
That's why. Okay, that's okay. Exactly why it felt that way to me.
I believe, and I need to. Yeah. Yeah, he was executive producer of the film. So he probably has a stake in the rights of it, actually.
Mm. Oh, okay. Well, that makes total sense to me then. And I guess my impression was spot on. Then.
He's also the link between the Tick, all live action incarnations.
Oh, well,
of the
there's
Tick.
Patrick Warburton.
Yeah.
But speaking of which, did the what was it, Amazon, who had the Tick series? Did that get picked up?
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, it did.
It did. Okay. Actually,
it hasn't
been
aired yet.
That whole voting thing, mm-hmm. I believe all of those shows that were up on the slate got greenlit.
Just got picked. Because, I was going back and I didn't know when they'd announce it. Yeah, I just thought all three just were like, well, this didn't work, so we're not putting out anything.
I think to compete with Netflix, and since Amazon also has more money than God, they were just like, just make them all. Just make every show and put them out there, and people will like them or hate them. And they just made them all.
Dude,
Lemony Snicket,
mm-hmm. yeah,
is a game in which the players squeeze lemon juice into each other's urethras as a test of strength and willpower.
Jeez!
Who's got a lemon?
The last person.
I'm pretty sure that came after the books, though.
The last person to quit is considered the toughest in the group. A Lemony Snicket, a game often played by hipsters at the upstairs portion of a bar where one of their friends works as a tender and spends all his time supplying lemons to idiots instead of making drinks.
Jeez.
How did that get approved?
I was talking about urethras last night, right?
How did
you
Lemony,
always talk about urethras?
It's true.
How did Lemony Snicket get approved for Urban Dictionary, but not Classic Alicia or whatever? How did that not get approved? I tried so hard in that one.
We did try to do a what was Classic Alicia?
It was you're classic style, you shave all your pubes so that you're like your original, your classic self before you had pubes. When you shave down there, you're going classic. But it never got picked up by Urban Dictionary.
Oh, and I learned about a lupa. A lupa yesterday?
I don't know
what
you're not remembering something properly because I have no idea what you're talking about.
Is that what you wash yourself with in the shower? A lupa?
A lupa?
No. Oh, no. She's talking about... I used the term fupa yesterday and she had never heard that before.
Fupa.
It's like a little pouch down there. Or name of a pug.
Fat upper pussy area?
Oh, no. I thought the pink one from... Yo Gabba Gabba. That's Fufa. Sorry.
It should be called Fupa now that I remember her. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Wait, so that is, what is it?
Yeah, Fupa.
Fupa.
Look it up on Urban Dictionary. I mean,
This is now the Urban Dictionary.
Upper pussy area.
Before I read you what I feel is the most credible definition of Lemony Snicket, but for some reason the top definition is the same thing, but with very bad grammar and more elaboration, so I want to read that.
Okay.
A game most people first learn about away from home at summer camp or someplace similar. In this game, a lemon wedge taken from a bar and the juice is squeezed into the pee hole of a guy's penis and a girl's vagina. Tat lemon is set aside and a new one is used to repeat the process. The first one to wince or scream is out of the game and the last person with a straight face wins.
How do you not wince or scream the moment lemon juice hits your urethra?
That would not be a great day for me.
Do we have any lemons?
No one.
You guys want to play this?
Do we win something? Like, is there money involved,
respect,
or is it just to put lemon juice in your crap?
It's just to put lemon juice in your area.
Yeah. Okay.
FUPA, bastardization of the acronym FUPA for fat upper pussy area or fat upper penis area. Goes both ways.
What's a fat upper?
I guess it could.
Oh,
just...
commonly seen packed into mom jeans like sausage casing on a fat and on fat people in motorized scooters.
What?
Interesting. Now,
I just thought that was common knowledge, and I just used that term.
That's interesting because I have another term for that I've heard, which is uterus log.
I've never heard that one.
What? Oh, I'm so lost right now.
That's when you've got the high waisted jeans, but your fat is shaped in such a way on an elderly lady's body, so that you have this like shelf, this uteral shelf kind of.
Oh, I thought
of fat.
I thought that was just like a spare tire.
I don't feel very good right now.
This is awful. I hate the Urban Dictionary. I'm sorry we went here. I'm sorry, everybody. I'm sorry.
Aim in that. But not on the...
Dookie's got a fupa.
Dookie does have a little bit
Dookie's
of a fupa.
Dookie's got a fupa. Here, let's try to call John again.
There's no way he's going to pick up. He knows this number now. He's like, I'm not answering. He's probably in the middle of something.
What should we sing to him on the phone if he...
Happy birthday?
His birthday's in August, so this is perfect.
What?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Surprise science with John. Please tell us some things.
Hey, John.
And many more.
Many more surprise sciences.
That made less sense than normal.
should we ask him to surprise us, or should we bring a topic to the table this time?
Well, if we, what do you want to surprise us with, John?
having talked to you assholes all the time about stuff, I always wonder, like, what I haven't told you in the first place.
Well, there's a lot you haven't told us on the air.
I guess that's true, but then it wouldn't surprise you anyway, because I told you about it off the air.
Well, true. Let her rip, Nikki. Set the pace here.
Yeah, so, John, tell me, do you know anything about these things with the humans and the pigs coming together?
Oh, ironically, that was actually what I was going to use.
Perfect. Go for it. Let's do.
For starters, the article I read, I don't even understand. They're like, there's only two kinds of chimera, you know? There's, like, basically, like, where you just cut open a body, and then you just jam a pig heart into it. And then there's the cool new one where, you know, you you just start injecting stem cells willy-nilly.
Just all willy-nilly stem cells.
Yeah.
But that's also, I mean, they left out an entire other one, which, of course, is the classic one as far as I'm concerned. And that's where you basically just gene splice foreign genes from another species into a new one, like jellyfish DNA into a monkey, which, of course, was the first time that that happened. Years ago.
Oh, which created the first jelly monkey. Everybody knows
why jellyfish DNA in a monkey? That's so weird.
Because so that way they can, like,
it was just a non-coding thing. In other words, it was a marker. It was just to show that it was there in the first place.
Okay.
It's a similar DNA. A similar thing was used to make grape ape.
They mixed ape with grapes.
Yeah, that was the first plant and ape hybrid.
How do you think grapples are harvested? Grape ape, obviously.
Grape ape. Duh.
John, do you know anything about putting a human egg inside of a pig? Because I'm just hearing about that today.
A human egg inside of a pig?
Yeah, I don't understand. Yeah, like an embryo.
They took, like, the embryo and put it inside of a pig, and it was able to grow for about 4 months.
What are your thoughts on that? How do you feel about that?
Are we sure we're talking about the same thing?
Apparently, there's a lot going on with pigs and humans.
What I was reading about was that they had effectively done, how did that go? It was something like they basically took, basically stem cells, which I guess you could say would be a human egg, and essentially spliced a quantity of them at each specific stage into a specific other stage of a pig embryo, creating something that had, it was either like 1 in 1,000 or 1 in 10,000 cells were human in the pig.
So they did put human DNA into a pig.
That sounds a little different from what...
Well, that wasn't actually putting the DNA in, but...
Maybe I misread it, but...
Either that or something else entirely.
Yeah, that sounds more interesting, though.
The bottom line about all that stuff is, though, is it's kind of, like, really nutty to me, because it's just sort of... It's like, I don't know, maybe it'll just work. I mean, you know, it's like basically just leaving your hands in Krieger's hands, or so to speak, leaving your life in Krieger's hands.
This is turning
You said Krieger. I was like, Creeper? Like,
Creeper hands.
The DC character? Okay, yeah.
I'm outside and it's cold, okay? I can't
talk. I was going to ask, where are you? Are you just getting your car, or are you outside?
No, man, I was eating this crazy-ass, like, Asian frozen ice cream, but they slice it like almost like a Paco jet. I don't even understand.
Wait, like, so you're like outside in the cold eating ice cream.
This is John, everyone.
What is wrong with you?
Right?
Yeah, totally.
Tell us about this ice cream,
like,
I don't understand.
Oh, you want to know what Brandon brought in to heat us up? Ghost pepper chocolate.
What? Oh, yeah, ghost pepper chocolate was cool. This is to warm everyone up.
Oh, I've been sent pictures of John eating this ice cream. This ice cream looks like a weird soup.
What?
Did he just send you those pictures?
Black sesame snow with red bean, condensed milk, and taro.
What?
Let me see.
Is this a meal?
That's what I was eating, but I wouldn't describe it as a soup. It's actually a foreign texture that I've never experienced before in ice cream.
It looks like shredded ice cream. It's like shredded pork, but ice cream.
Oh, is that one of those? Is that from one of those places where they spread, like, the cream on, like, a super cooled surface, and then they kind of, like, use a couple of spatulas?
No, it's not a cryo process. I mean, of course, everything's cryo if it's frozen, right? But no, they literally take a frozen block of ice cream, and they effectively shave that.
Oh.
Is there meat in this photo?
It looks like meat.
There's red bean, and then there's, like, basically taro, like, boba balls.
It looks awful.
Oh, those are boba balls.
They look like kidney beans or
kidneys. I didn't realize boba had balls.
Or chicken hearts. All right, John, before we let you go, Before we let you go, John, we want to know one interesting science fact that we may or may not know, just random, before we let you go to your business.
Well, since I seem to win a lot with eyeballs, did you know that bees don't have two? They have five.
What?
Wait, who?
Bees?
Who? Bees?
Yeah. Bees What's actually the point? Have like a triplet right in the middle of their head. They're tiny. Well, they're sort of like, in other words, their eyes do normal eye things. These are almost more like indicators, like that they would use for super fast response directly into their brain for while they were flying and navigation and that kind of thing.
Wow.
All right, so they've got,
you know,
they got three middle
eyes. I always thought
bees
had two eyes, and nope.
So they use them like infrared sensors or something?
Well, most insects have like compound eyes anyway, so like the two eyes are way different from
eyes. But like that's not even like what we're talking about here. I mean, we're talking about like they got these tiny little miniature eyes right on their forehead.
Kind of like spiders.
Like at the crown.
I think I have actually seen that before, but like I guess I didn't realize that they were eyeballs.
That makes sense because, you know, like beetles fly like morons. They bump into everything. But they are bees,
right.
Hell no. Cool.
And sometimes you need, you know, that straight in there, right into the brain, kind of like quick response. Not having to judge things and being like, what the hell am I looking at? What's that thing over there?
I never would have thought that having more eyes would make you less judgmental.
Oh, wow, they're tiny and you can barely notice them, but there's definitely three little dots of eyes on the center of like where their nose or whatever would be if they had a nose.
And that's been Surprise Science with John. Thanks, John.
Thank you, John. Enjoy your ice cream in the 40-degree weather.
Crazy person.
Yeah, look at that. Look at that little guy.
What a good segment.
Oh, he's so cute.
You just want to squeeze them until they pop out.
I do. Let me... Here.
Which would be incredibly easy.
Oh, my God.
I mean, hey, there we go. We got those the tri-eye forehead dot... I mean, that's going to be the next stage of human hybridization. We're going to
be eyes.
Yeah, we're going to be unimmovable. You can't. If I don't want you to touch me, you cannot touch me. I'll be MC Hammer times a million.
Okay. Can't touch this.
Did you guys hear about the recent scientific? I know this is another science thing. Recent scientific discovery about like the fires in the southwest of California and parts of Mexico.
There's a scientific discovery about fire.
Yes, actually.
Okay.
You'll have to.
What happened? Okay, so there's a lot of fires right now, and it's mostly they're thinking it's because it's drought, which makes sense. There's a lot of dry things. You know,
because of trout?
Drought. Because of. Funny you should mention trout because because of droughts, and that makes sense. Things get dry, things light on fire, especially in the southwest. Recently, they discovered there's a specific bird in these areas that might actually be causing some of the fires.
What?
So let me explain. So you know how obviously this is common knowledge that birds have this thing called like a uropygial gland above their tail.
They have a tiny
gland. That looks like a tumor. So if you ever see like water birds have bigger ones, if you ever see like a duck and they reach their head back every now and then to their tail and then go back forward, it's because they're squeezing this gland and putting oil in their mouth. And that's how they waterproof their feathers because of like lots of maintenance.
Mm.
So instead, everyone thinks birds are waterproof, but they're actually just squeezing oil on their body, like lubing themselves up 24/7.
That's dope.
So there is this bird that has one of these glands, because most birds do, that it secretes an oil when it gets scared or when it's like there's a snake that tends to eat it a lot. It shoots it out like a defense mechanism when it flies away.
And it's flammable.
And it's so caustic that if the area is dry...
Oh, God.
Shut up.
And so scientists have been trying to take pictures and catalog these birds. And it's not even a bird that we didn't know about. So I have a picture.
Man, bird be firebombing.
Bringing pictures to podcasts is always interesting.
This bird looks like a Pokemon.
Look at that.
We'll link to this. Guys. We'll link to this picture. Yeah. What's this bird called?
Huh?
The Pyroluxia. Pyroluxia,
really?
It's funny because I didn't even know it yet.
He looks like a Pokemon. He sounds like a Pokemon. And that Pokemon is definitely fire type. If you said, hey, this is a Photoshop picture and I made all this up, I would believe you.
Mm. Anyway, this has been a segment of Brandon Lies. Wow. Moving on. I'm working on my skills. Everything I said was actually true, except for the fire part.
Wait, what?
Anyway, moving on.
What?
So, I don't know. I was bored and I wanted to make up a story about birds starting fires, so I did.
But then what kind of bird was that?
Oh, no, this is a real bird. It just doesn't shoot oil that lights things on fire. Who the fuck would believe that? That's retarded.
Me.
You're anyway. So good at it, though. I'm not. Anyway.
Well, I believe that it was caustic, though. Like,
It might be. We might discover it. I mean, it does.
I am genuinely prepared for you to lie at any given moment. And I was following along with that until the end.
I feel like if you use one fancy word like Europygial, people believe you.
Oh, yeah. No,
which
it's true.
Which is why scientists are all hoax guys. They're just lying to you.
The only reason why I believe you this
doesn't exist
is because you work with birds. And so I'm like, he wouldn't fuck around with birds. It's probably legit information.
Yeah, why would he care about fires in California?
There's no topic I'm not willing to fuck around with. Anyway, that's all I've got for this entire show.
And so this has been Owl Movement with Brandon.
There you go. I'm going to go read some of the new Great Lakes Avengers comics in front of me right now. You guys can continue the show now. I'm done.
All right. So we talked a little bit about streaming television, but there's been a recent nerdish happening on network television. And I might have also mentioned this before, but not in depth. Riverdale. You guys heard of Riverdale?
Mm-hmm. I have heard of it. And it seems like something I should probably watch if it's interesting, because I read a review of it and the review was pretty good. What do you think of it?
Isn't
have
that
you seen
a town
it?
In Lord of the Rings?
That's Rivendell.
Oh. Is Riverdale about
is
elves?
Elrond there?
Is Riverdale about elves?
You could say he's kind of elfish, if you're talking about Jughead. He's sort of like an androgynous kind of like mysterious figure.
Is this the Archie show?
Yeah.
Oh, this has nothing to do with elves. Got it.
Have you seen
Wait.
It?
Wait.
Cap.
I'm sorry.
Answer. Have you seen it?
Yes, I have. Now, Nikki, you're having a reaction.
That's based off of the Archie comics?
Yes, it is.
What?
Yeah.
Holy shit, that's dark.
What platform is this on? And tell us about it.
It's like the WB or...
It's CW.
CW, sorry.
WB doesn't exist anymore, but CW is pretty much WB part two.
So it's a teen drama, got it.
Here's the thing about it. Nikki, why don't you describe what you've seen?
I'm sorry. Well, I haven't been able to like watch all of the show, but from what I've seen so far, and even like the commercials and stuff like that, at first, not knowing it had anything to do with that, I was thinking that it might be like a newer version of like a Twin Peaks kind of thing. Like, just from what I've seen so far,
yeah,
is the feel I was kind of getting from it. And I'm like, ooh, this might be interesting. Like, I didn't know if the humor would be there or anything like that, but I'm like, this reminds me of like the start of Twin Peaks.
Well, it is a David Lynch show.
Okay.
No,
I don't.
He's just lying.
Shut your mouth.
I want to hear from Cap. What's it like?
Okay, go ahead.
It is like Twin Peaks light. It was definitely conceived to be that way. It's about the subversion of a small town. It's about a small town and the dirty things that happen there. Because, I mean, we've talked about this in the past. Archie Comics has had a renaissance over the past few years. That they've with the success of the comic book Afterlife with Archie, a zombie comic that is about all the sordid secrets that happen in Riverdale and black magic and zombies. That they've realized, one, for starters, they haven't had a success like that in decades upon decades. Like, the success of Afterlife with Archie is a huge thing, which prompted them to take the writer of that book, Roberto Aguirre Sacasa, and promote him to the chief creative officer of all of Archie Comics, leading to while you can still buy the generic Archie books at the, checkout at the grocery store, there Archie relaunched itself with top shelf talent like Mark Waid, Ryan North, Chip Zdarsky doing new Archie books, a new Archie universe of a real, like, all ages, funny, endearing, I read all of them, comic books, kind of like, I don't know, like fun Degrassi sort of comics.
Okay.
But Riverdale is cut from the same cloth as Afterlife with Archie. It's basically Afterlife with Archie without the black magic and zombies.
Yet,
right. And this is a fascinating story. Roberto Aguirre Sacasa, who wrote Afterlife with Archie, is the chief creative officer. In 2003, he was a playwright. And he wrote and assembled a play called Archie's Weird Fantasy, in which Archie came out of the closet and moved to New York, depicting Archie and his pals growing up, coming out, and facing censorship. The day before the play was going to open, Archie Comics issued a cease and desist threatening litigation if the play proceeded as written. They thought if Archie was portrayed as being gay, that would dilute and tarnish his image. The play eventually opened as Weird Comic Book Fantasy, and the character names are changed. So that guy went from being C&D'd by Archie to writing their most successful book ever and being promoted their chief creative officer. And now he's taken that subversion of the wholesomeness that Archie Comics has like perpetrated for so long and turned it into Archie Comics' greatest asset.
So wait, he got a cease and desist and then later worked with Archie.
Yes.
How did that conversation go? Hey, we didn't let you put on your play, but you want to work for us now?
It was 10 years later and they'd probably had an executive changeover.
All right, cool.
Now, wasn't there supposed to be a character? I thought it was Archie who was asexual.
Yeah, Jughead's asexual.
Jughead.
Yeah.
Okay, Tim Four.
And it's been handled really well, and he's a great character.
The Ninja Turtles in it? There were crossovers.
There was the issue Archie meets the Ninja Turtles. Yeah, that was the thing that happened. But they've also met Punisher, Sharknado, and Predator.
They met Sharknado.
Yeah, well,
the whole thing
under Roberto Aguirre Sacasa's run, they've had official crossovers with Sharknado, Predator, and Glee.
What
Predator
Glee?
In River?
I would
Riverdale?
Love Predator to show up
with
on
murder
Glee.
And blood.
Just murder all of them.
Yeah, no, he did.
Good.
It was an actual horror comic drawn in the style of Archie Comics.
Oh, I gotta watch
season
that.
Two.
Well, it was a comic.
In my mind.
But so Riverdale is a super stylized, very well shot, kind of it's an homage to primetime soap operas like Dallas 90210, Twin Peaks, Dawson's Creek, all of
soap.
That. Yeah, I mean, they call it a primetime drama. That's a soap opera. Okay. That's code for a soap opera. Mm-hmm. A soap opera with better acting and better camera shots with cameras. I don't know.
Higher budget in general.
Yeah, exactly. So this show, I really enjoyed the first episode so far. It's hyper-sexualized. It's hyper-everything. But it's really, it's actually kind of endearing how everything is over the top. Like the whole thing is over the top. Everybody's sexy. Everybody's got controversy and it's all underneath the surface.
I mean, it sounds like a normal CW show.
It does, but it's,
like Dawson's
but I suppose
Creek.
The difference is that it's also dark. It's also dark and subversive.
Dawson's
and
Creek was pretty dark.
Well, they actually took a page from Dawson's Creek. Dawson's Creek's first season. I don't know if you remember. The first thing I remember ever hearing about Dawson's Creek was when the dude who went on to be in the movie The Skulls, which is a great movie.
Oh, yeah.
What's his name? I don't remember
his
name.
Oh, I don't remember. I don't.
Like, I only know James Vanderbeek.
The guy who's not James Vanderbeek.
He was also in The Mighty Ducks, right? Is that the same guy?
Probably.
They look alike.
Anyway, he in that show, he had an adult relationship with his high school teacher.
Mm-hmm.
That happens in Riverdale with Archie, and it's actually been the subject of some controversy. There was an article on what is it? Poly.
Oh, polyamorous relationship.
No, Poly
Pocket.
No, that website Polygon. The website Polygon.
Oh, okay.
Where they're like Archie's new series like normalizes or sexualizes statutory rape. Because I mean, it's
I don't know.
Archie's 16 years old, though the actor is definitely not 16 years old, and he has an adult relationship with their younger, more conventionally attractive version of Miss Grundy. This article, I just want to, if anybody's read this, it's Brandon.
Sorry.
Thank you, Brandon. Brandon found a pornographic film with an amazing cover called Dawson's Crack.
Okay.
It's a gay porn parodying Dawson's Creek called Dawson's Crack.
Well, you can have fun with that when you get home.
All right, it's only got 2.5
can
stars.
Can you send me a link? Thank you.
Oh, average user is almost 4 out of 4 stars. Review,
wow.
So it might actually have a good story. What were you saying?
What was the Green Lantern one? Green Lantern is gay.
I literally just said like gay Green Lantern.
There's
escape his might.
There's a porn that the title isn't even a parody. It's just Green Lantern is gay. No, in brightest day and blackest night.
No ass will escape his might.
Yeah.
Mm. Wow. Oh my god.
Okay.
$60.
Well, it's two discs.
$60.
It's a collector's edition 2 discs.
You know, physical media pornography is extremely cost prohibitive. I'll say that much.
Oh my god.
So anyway, I really took issue with this article, and I don't want to mention it to give it credence, but I do want to say that if you've seen this, like, just give the show a chance. Like, it's the characters are actually struggling with this. This is not present, even though there's a lot of hypersexualization about absolutely everything in the show, including this illegal activity. These are characters with feelings that, I mean, this shit happens in real life all the time. So by all means, let's allow fiction to confront it without making it a issue of social justice. It's ridiculous. This is fiction, and it's specifically a kind of fiction about scandal. The entire genre is about scandal. So I enjoyed the first episode of Riverdale. I'm eager to see where it goes. And for my money, this is the best portrayal of the relationship between Betty and Veronica I've ever seen. I actually believe their adversarial friendship more than I do in the modern Archie comics, even.
Awesome. I'm more excited to watch it now, because before I was already excited, but now I'm just like...
Yeah, oh. Like I said, the review I read was really good, so I'm definitely going to at least check it out.
And in addition to Roberto Aguirre-Sacasa having written this show, in some ways, I think, based on his own play, it is also produced by Greg Berlanti, the writer and executive producer behind Dawson's Creek and all of the DC television universe, as in Arrow, Flash, and etc.
Supergirl.
So there'll be a crossover.
If it goes on long enough, like, why not?
It'll be a musical crossover, too.
Oh, there you go.
And that's happening soon, right?
Yeah, I don't know when. I've fallen behind on my DC shows lately.
Are they still interesting?
They were last I watched them, but I just haven't watched them for a while.
I haven't seen a single one.
I haven't watched this whole season.
I haven't liked Supergirl this season at all.
I haven't ever watched... Well, I watched like the pilot when that
I don't think
came
I've
out,
seen but... a DC show since The Adventures of, what, Lois and Clark?
Oh, my.
It was a great show, by the way. It was really good.
But
compared to the modern shows, it was a crap show.
Yeah, it's atrocious.
That's the original one where he was like working. It was like the super cheesy one, right?
Yeah, well, Dean Cain and Terry Hatcher.
Yeah, but the two, they came, all right, so, sorry, my brain. So they got the guy who played Superman and Lois to come back for this, but they're not playing Superman and Lois. They're playing the adoptive parents.
That Jonathan and Martha Kent?
Of
Superman?
Supergirl.
Didn't he show up on Smallville, too?
He might have.
I think he had some sort of a side role.
I was not into Smallville.
That's what made me not watch any DC shows.
I watched it until they got rid of Lex and Lana. And then I stopped watching because I was like, eh.
The first season, I was like, oh, God, I hate the multicolored kryptonites. I kind of like them now in a cheesy way, but like, I was like, oh, God. And all the kryptonites are giving people powers, and all the powers are just ripoffs of X-Files episodes. What the fuck is happening?
And everything happens in one small town, coincidentally.
Yeah. Well, it's because that's where the kryptonite meteor hit.
The Crypt Keeper meteor.
Because of different levels of heat created different colors of kryptonite, and then, you know, that kryptonite gave people powers.
Okay. I'll buy that, maybe.
Yeah.
For a dollar.
$1.
Brandon, Gravity Rush 2, how is it?
Oh, that's good. You should check it out. No, okay. So I didn't know if we were really going to touch on it, but
I wanted to a little bit because the first game was incredible looking.
The problem was that I'm the only one here who knows anything about it because the first game, unfortunately, was a Vita exclusive,
which nobody has
except for me. Exactly. They remastered it for the PS4 recently, so I downloaded it, played it, beat it. I love that game. And then the sequel came out, and it's just more of that, but way better and on a much bigger scale. And I'll just tell you right now what Gravity Rush is about. You're a girl, you wake up, you have no memories, you can manipulate gravity, and that's basically the gist of the game is, you know, there's a story, but you manipulate gravity, you can walk under the city because all the cities and the way the world is, everything's floating, and there's like an infinite void, and like half of everything is destroyed, and there's basically cities and markets and towns floating in the air. And
seems like a pretty normal scenario.
You can walk under them. You can stick to any surface. You can like straight off the beginning of the game. You can float anywhere, go anywhere if you can. You know, if you can make the distance. And that's it. Feels like an old school Nintendo game, but it's for like PS4 only. It's weird, but it feels like a really fun Nintendo game.
Yeah,
which is why I love it. So it's done in some weird... I didn't know that French people had comics.
Until are you fucking kidding me?
Because I looked up the... Because I've always really liked the art style in Gravity Rush.
Aren't the Smurfs French?
They're Belgian.
Belgian, okay. I knew
fucking
it was something
Belgian
like
gnomes.
That.
But I looked it up, and it's based off of one or two people's really... They're these really popular French comic book artists. And so I really love the art style. And now I know that there's French comics that I didn't know...
Let me tell you about comics and graphic novels in Europe.
They're all French.
They treat those creators like royalty. I'm talking about if you're an American creator and you get flown over to one of their conventions over there, they'll pay for your plane ticket, they'll pay for all your meals, they'll pay for your hotel, they'll pay for everything. They treat these people with such admiration and respect, and the work that they produce is truly incredible. If you look at comics like Black Sad, which is a noir comic done by ex-Disney animators, about anthropomorphic animals like solving crimes, it's incredible. I can only scratch the surface with all the amazing comics that come out of France specifically.
I'm going to be basically looking at more French comics now. But anyone interested in just core game mechanics that are really fun, if you have a PS4, I would check it out.
I love core game mechanics.
You can maybe add me and watch me play it, so you don't have to spend money on it first.
I'll do that.
So you could do that. But it's a really cool game, and it continues. Unfortunately, if you haven't played the first game, you won't know any of the characters or any of the story. So that's cool.
So they haven't ported it from Vita at all.
Just to PS4.
That's so weird.
Yeah, it's not on any. I think it's a Sony produced thing. Even I think that's why I have to look that up. But yeah.
So yeah, Grand Theft Auto.
I've been playing that lately. It's really fun. I don't have enough time, but it's really good. You can basically there's this really rich neighborhood that's way up in the sky, and you can just jump off of it for like 1,000 yards and float down to like the markets and like the business section where all these skyscrapers, and you can like run up the sides of the skyscrapers. You can go underneath them where there's just like rocks hanging on and like sewer grates spewing water down. And then if you just drop, which I didn't know you could do, I just kept dropping, and I went to like the slums, which is just like, I don't know, tons and tons of just rickety wooden buildings floating there and just poor people.
Interesting. So
you can visit the poor people.
That's really cool. But the poor people get to float.
Yeah.
That's important.
Yeah. Or else they'd be dead, because there's just no ground. They live in an infinite void of nothingness. But anyway.
I've had no luck quickly looking up who's responsible for the comics, but...
When you have a cat.
The art that I've seen is phenomenal. It looks great.
What, for French comics?
No, for Gravity Rush.
Oh, no, yeah, I love the art style. And all the cutscenes, I don't know if this is either a plus or a minus for you, but they're done in like a comic book panel.
By French comics. So do you know that it was actually specifically French art? Comic
I thought
artists,
it was based or? On a specific artist style, but I could have made. I don't know if I'm lying anymore. So I'll do more research on that.
Well, but. I mean, we got to be careful. Alternative facts are everywhere, including. I mean, depending on how badly we butchered the story of human eggs and the pigs, and we might be responsible. We'll link to the critical articles in this episode, so you can straighten out the facts.
Yeah,
yourself.
All of our science today might have just been us badly remembering an article that we sort of read,
or the article I read was just not.
Have you been to alternativefacts.com?
I have not. What's there?
Somebody bought it and redirected it to a psychology website article on gaslighting.
Beautiful.
Yeah,
beautiful. A champion. All right, so that's the show, guys. Thank you so much for joining in. Oh shit, no, it's not. We totally forgot to give props to the people who support us. Real quick, let's do it. We've been on fire this episode. It totally slipped my mind. So Nerdy Show and all the shows the Nerdy Show Network are entirely listener supported. You help us to exist. We couldn't do it without you. If you head to nerdyshow.com/support, you'll see all the ways to help us out, including joining on Patreon, where you get access to exclusive hangouts, hours and hours of exclusive bonus content, and many perks, including shout outs on this show. Or you can give us a one-time donation, or you can shop on Amazon. All your purchases through our Amazon links help support us. And if we've mentioned any media that you can buy through Amazon, we'll link to it on this episode's page. Those links are good for it. And we got a shout out here. We got a shout out to be read by Brandon at Jade Numi's request.
Here's, I thought I made a shout out. I was like, I did not.
here
I requested to read this?
Yeah, you as you will see, you were, yes.
By Jade Numi. I'm back, bitches, says Brandon must read that. After a few months gone because of financial issues and getting into college, Jade Numi, is back. Sorry, I'm going to read that again. I'm back, bitches. After a few months gone because of financial issues and getting into college, Jade Numi, is back. Oh, how I miss thee, though I always continue to listen. Anyway, what shall I do with this power? Say, skip-a-doodle, mistletoe shenanigans with 10-fingered ducks, mwahahaha, Dr. Horrible-like laugh. God damn it. I have to... do I have to read that
again? No, that's fine. Just read it.
I think I should read it again.
The way you're doing it is great. Just keep going.
In an actor... That's it.
Oh, okay.
I feel like I should read it again.
Just give us your best like evil laugh, and I think that'll wrap it up nicely.
My best evil laugh is more like It's not like, ha ha ha. It's like, it's like, ha 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 ha.
That would.
Anyway.
Okay, so maybe there was a little bit of a break here. Maybe Bor will be able to edit it. I don't know. Dookie fell off the monitor and stopped the recording.
He pooped too hard.
Yeah, he pooped too hard.
This recording really shit the bed.
I had him perched on the monitor like one would perch on a squatty potty. So thank you, Jade Newmy, for that shout out. Looking forward to many more to come. Everybody at $10 or more gets one shout out a month. We'll say whatever you want us to say. You want to read that statement again? That last
Which
statement?
One?
That the one at the end, all the gibberish words.
All right, says, shall I do with this power? Say, skip-a-doodle mistletoe shenanigans with 10-finger ducks, mwahahahaha, in a Dr. Horrible-like laugh. But I don't remember his laugh, so that's all you get. I'm sorry.
Well done. I love it.
Does he have like a cheesy laugh? Like, well,
at the very beginning of Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog, he's practicing his laugh.
Yeah, I don't know. See, I don't know which. Okay.
He's working with a vocal coach.
It's been maybe,
to
what?
Strengthen the.
Like 7 or 8 years since that came out. It's been a long time.
I think everyone here should do their best.
You know, a lot of Dr. Horrible comes out in his portrayal of Count Olaf.
Oh.
Mm. It's very Dr. Horrible-esque.
Really? Or I didn't hear your best. I heard their best laughs. I didn't hear your best.
Oh, shit.
You have to strengthen the...
Yeah, I don't have that. Mine just comes out like...
Can anybody do a good Titus laugh? You know?
Oh, yeah. The best voice acting.
So, something I want to address is that last episode we had Jeffrey McSorley do a reoccurring shout out. You'll hear it again, and he has an ad that he has us read an ad for our own shirts because he's awesome, because he's a true Roosevelt. And I have an update on the shirt situation. Amazon merch has reactivated new designs, so here's what we got to do. I need your help on some things. We had two old designs from Nerdy Show. Our first shirts we ever made was the Nerdy Show logo in the style of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the 1980s animated series, and then also a beautiful metal t-shirt inspired.
It's like it's a metal t-shirt. Nice.
Dungeons and Doritos design done by myself and local shop. We still have versions of both those shirts that we've had printed ourselves, but in limited sizes. So we wanted to make those available on our Amazon store so people could buy them in women's sizes, youth sizes if you're nasty, and all the sizes that we're missing. However, Amazon has enacted a new policy in which a shirt or a design has to be purchased within the first 60 days. And because those were old designs and we weren't really promoting that it was there because we didn't know about this policy, surprise, surprise, no one bought them. Those designs were taken down. Aww. Well, I've relisted those designs. So if you guys want to buy these shirts, now's the time. Do check out the links. We'll link to it on this episode's page. And in addition to that, they also had a little bit of a curfew on new shirt designs because of the holiday rush. I couldn't put up any new designs. Well, guess what? The Lightning Dogs emblem design is now available. You can show that you're running with the pack and get the gorgeous Lightning Dogs emblem design made by Denica. So, and then hear the history of that design in episode 12 of Lightning Dogs, the official podcast. It's all up there, nerdyshow.com/store, where we have Nerdy Show stickers, Dungeons and Doritos stickers, dice bags, Ghostbusters role-playing products, and all kinds of other stuff. If you haven't ever been to the store, might want to consider it. Hey, we even have a Society 6 page where you can buy gorgeous pillows with Lightning Dogs and Dungeons and Doritos art or phone cases and shit. It's kind of premium products. I don't actually think anyone's ever bought it, but we have the art, so we might as well make it available. It's up there. Check it out.
Do you have a body pillow?
No. Okay. No, but you can stitch them together and make your own body pillow.
I want a body pillow with all the hosts' faces on it. just stitched the faces? Together. Just the heads. Just, like all the heads on
just
one
a horrific
pillow.
Totem pole of our decapitated heads.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
And then you can
We can commission
with it.
Tony like to do that.
And then you just put it between
Tony
your thighs.
Tony would probably happily draw that for
what
you.
What else do you do?
No, we should get Jared to do it because he's got the kind of that the horror art style. He can make it real gross.
Yeah,
that would be
awesome. That'd
if,
be amazing.
If you want this, let us know because we will need to pay him and we will need to spend money to make it made. So you know, just let us know.
Well, you already got one.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. Taking us out is a track by the Proto Men. Felt like an appropriate one to play at this time. This is a cover from their covers record, The Cover Up. And it's, I Still Believe, the great design, originally by The Call. Because for people like us, in places like this, we need all the hope that we can get.
my way. I wanna give out, I wanna give it. This is our crime, this is our sin. But I still believe, I still believe. Through the pain, through the grief, through the lies, through the stones, through the cries.